You're listening to Consider This, episode 35, for March 27th, 2013.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, it's time once again for that political and cultural opinion podcast, loved by dozens, Consider This. I'm your beloved host, Doug Payton, beloved mostly because I will take up no more than 10 minutes of your time with my conservative take on the events of the day. If you'd like to take up some of my time with your take, call me at 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280, day or night, for the voicemail feedback line, or write me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com if you just got braces and you think you sound funny. The website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, has more ways to get in touch, including social networks. That's CT, as in courageously timid. One senator suggests a minimum wage of $22 an hour, gun permit applications are up, and asking Democrats how they'd balance the budget. That's coming up. Apple came out with an update to their podcasts app, and now it's actually worth using. You can create playlists in the app itself, or if you prefer, as I do, to use iTunes for that, it now recognizes iTunes playlists. And you can search for podcasts to listen to, including this one, right in the app. This is worth the free download for iOS apps. Apparently, Elizabeth Warren, the junior senator from Massachusetts, listened to episode 31 of Consider This, where I explained why a minimum wage of $20 an hour would hurt those it was intended to help, and she thought that $20 was just a good start. At a recent Senate hearing, she wondered why the minimum wage wasn't $22 an hour. This invites, of course, the sort of scrutiny that you don't get at Senate hearings, but you do in a 10-minute political podcast. Her point was this. If you go back to 1960s minimum wage of $1 an hour, and you index it not to inflation, but to the average productivity gains of American workers since then, you'd have a minimum wage of $22. Now, there are a number of different ways to compute productivity, and she, of course, used the highest possible value, but let's go with that. There are several problems with her reasoning. First of all, typically, employees don't generally decide on their own to be more productive. Productivity gains typically come from capital investments, like computers or better fabrication machines. Improvements in management help the case as well. Productivity gains do tend to drive up wages, especially for those who are paid by the piece. But if every gain from productivity had to go to wages, well, businesses would have little incentive to spend the money and the time to make those gains. Secondly, that was an average productivity gain number, again, on the high end. What she's assuming is that productivity gains have been distributed evenly across the entire wage scale, or even at a particular point on the wage scale. The fabrication machinery making more widgets, or the computer accounting and distribution system, they don't really increase the productivity of the burger flippers at the cashier, which is the example Senator Warren used, McDonald's. Certainly not by a factor of 22 since 1960, and likely by not all that much. Thirdly, she talks as though we could just affect those making minimum wage with this immense pay raise and not impact inflation at all. She notes, as I did, that the actual number of people actually trying to live on the minimum wage is quite small. However, if you take someone making $7.50 now and suddenly require them to receive $22, what about those making $9 or $10 or $15 or $18 an hour right now? Never mind the union wages that are tied to the minimum, everyone making below and many making above $22 an hour would require and or expect a commensurate increase in wages. As I mentioned in episode 31, all of a sudden the benefit gets outweighed by the consequences of that benefit, consequences that affect everyone. And consider this, if that simple 15-cent hamburger from 1960 also got its price raised because of this huge increase in productivity, instead of being on the dollar menu, it would cost $3.30. Instead, It only costs a buck. Now, if we raised the minimum wage based on that scale, 15 cents in 1960 to a dollar in 2013, the minimum wage would only be $6.70. Two can play at that game, if you want to cherry-pick numbers.
You're listening to Consider This from ctpodcasting.com.
The Obama administration may say that they're not trying to confiscate guns, but some of the public isn't buying it. Here's a sample statistic for you. In one small town in New England, a town of about 27,000, they typically issue about 130 gun permit applications every year. However, in the 3 months since mid-December, police say they've received 79 applications. That's an annual rate of about 316 a year, about 2.5 times the usual number. That's how much people trust the administration. Oh, and by the way, the town in question? It's Newtown, Connecticut, where the Sandy Hook shooting took place. I'll just let the irony of that sink in for a bit. While the Democrats in the Senate have indeed passed a budget, they still have been true to form when it comes to fiscal responsibility. Jeff Sessions offered a bill that would have required Democrats to balance their budget in 10 years, just like the Republicans do, using any combination of tax increases, spending cuts, and whatever changes they'd like to use. Basically, it was a bill to ask them how they would do it, since they don't like how Republicans would do it. All of the Republicans voted for it, of course. But any guesses on how many Democrats did? If you said zero, you're wrong. One actually did vote for it. Joe Manchin of West Virginia. The other 53 voted against it. Now, I will say, Manchin is on the record as saying he wants a balanced budget, so he's at least trying to keep his campaign promise. However, that doesn't explain the vote of 19 other senators, including Harry Reid, who are also on the record as supposedly wanting a balanced budget. I've asked before, and I'll ask it again. If you believe we need to get spending under control, and you vote for Democrats, how do you reconcile that? Just the thought of coming up with a balanced budget 10 years down the road is not something they can get behind. But they'll certainly tell you that's what they want. That's what you want to hear, right? Here's another question. If you don't think we need to get spending under control, what are your credit card bills like? Can we eliminate poverty with a $50 per hour minimum wage? Does gun control really work? And can we get a fiscally responsible Senate? Please. This is an open book quiz. Please email your answers to considerthis@ctpodcasting.com. Oral reports may be submitted by calling 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280, or by going to the website considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, where you can click on the Call Me graphic, and the voicemail feedback line will call you. The show notes are there, also with links to all the sources I used in this episode. You can leave a comment on the show notes, too, and I've just added a feature that shows who the top commentators are. Carve your name on my website by leaving us your own bits of wisdom so that we can all consider this.